Okay. So today is Tuesday, December 15th, Kaftet Kislev, in the middle of Hanukkah. Okay, and I'm excited because we're going to see the Malbim goes off on one of his philosophical tangents, which is so cool and interesting, and I hope that you guys enjoy it as well. Okay, so first, we didn't read this in Hebrew last week, because we just explored the beginning of Perek Kaf Dalet in relation to the end of Perek Kaf Gimel, where we ended with Uriah, and we saw how the mention of Uriah may have instigated this Hashem's anger. So we're going to read it a little bit more carefully this time in Hebrew. So Vayosef Af Hashem Lecharot BeYisrael. So again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Vayaset Et David Bahem. And he, a mesit is somebody who causes somebody else to sin or to do something. So it says he moved David against them. Lemor saying, Lech mane et Yisrael ve'et Yehuda. Go count Israel and Judah. I'm stressing that because you'll see it's different in our Divrei Hayamim account. That whole pasuk is different. We're going to compare. Ve'omer ha'melech el Yoav, and the king said to Yoav, Sar ha'chayel, the captain of the army, Asher Ito, that was with him, Shut na b'chol shiktei Israel, go to all of the tribes of Israel, midan v'ad Beersheva, from Dan to Beersheva, ufikdu et ha'am, v'yadati et mispar ha'am, and go and the Mavim's going to explore what these different words that seem like synonyms for counting. So pakad does mean count, but the Mavim's going to explore what it means exactly. So count the nation, and I will know the number of the nation. Okay, so all of these things the Mavim's going to explore. Vayomer Yoav el Hamelch, Vayosef Hashem Elokecha el Ha'am, Kahem Vekahem, Mea Pamim. So Yoav responds, he knows that this is the wrong thing to do. May the Lord your God add to the people a hundredfold of whatever they may be. And the eyes of my Lord, Vene Adoni Hamelch, were out that he should see it, this number added. Vadoni Hamelch, my Lord the King, Lama Chafetz Badvar, why do you want this? Vechazek Devar Hamelch el Yoav, so the words of the king was strong on Yoav. We saw last week that he may have said, are you the king and I'm the army person? Or what's going on here? That might have been what he said. So strengthened on Yoav and on all the ministers of the host or army. And Yoav and all of the captains went out before the king to count the nation in Israel. So they passed through the Jordan and they went to all these cities. And they went to more cities. And they came to Dan, Vayan, Vesaviv, El Sidon. And even mentioning all these details, you can see that they're taking their time. They're in no rush, like we talked about last week. Vayavo miftsar tzor v'kol arei hachivi v'aknani v'atzu el negev Yehuda be'er sheva. They got to Be'er Sheva. V'ashu to b'chol ha'aretz. They went out about in all the land. Vayavo miktzei tish'a chadashim v'esrim yom. It took them 9 months and 20 days until they got back to Yerushalayim. We talked about how that's a very long time. V'yiten Yoav et mispar mifkad ha'am. So this is interesting. So Yoav gave the number of the, it says the sum of the number of the king. So we're going to see how that is indeed how Malbim explains it, that Mispar is the numbers of individuals, whereas Mifkad is the together, the sum of the nation, El Hamelch, to the king. Vati Yisrael Shmona Me'ot Elef Ish. So Israel was 800,000 men. Ishchael, sorry, valiant men, courageous men. Sholaf Cherev, who drew the sword. V'ish Yehuda, Chamesh Me'ot Elef Ish. In Judah were 500,000 men. So try to keep those numbers in your head because we're going to see a discrepancy. V'yach Lev David Oto. And David's heart smote him. So here it's David himself realized what he'd done once the number comes to him. Achreichein Tzfarat Ha'am. After he had counted the people. Okay, so here's the Divrei Hayamim. I highlighted in the English the differences. So it's a totally different first pasuk. Now, Satan arose upon Israel, and he moved David to count Israel. So the Satan also appears in this way in the book of Job, when he convinces God to test Eov. It's also the Satan. So this is interesting that God is not here in the picture, and it's the Satan. And again, the Jewish view of the Satan is not Satan, this disconnected devil, but it's rather actually very connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem usually sends the Satan in order to actualize our potential. So whereas the Satan might appear that he's against us, the Satan is actually rooting for us that we will overcome what the Satan has put in front of us, and that we will overcome it and actualize our potential. That's sort of the Jewish view. You can see that in the Ramban on the Akedah Yitzchak, that's how he sort of explains the Akedah and why Hashem stopped him there, because the purpose was to actualize Avram's potential to see what he could do. Instead of just everybody thinking he was a good person, everyone would know his dedication to Hashem. Okay, and then in Divrei Hayamim also, instead of counting Israel and Yehuda, David leaves out Yehuda and just says Israel. It's not something we would have noticed, because in our day and age, we just think of Israel as all the Jewish people, but in that day and age, Israel and Yehuda really, we saw in the Sefer Shmuel that they're really separate. Here, Yoav also calls the Jewish people Avadim, La'avadim here in the Hebrew you can see. And he adds to his questioning of David's command, why should this become guilt for Yisrael? Lami yeh la'ashma. So asham is guilt for Israel. Okay, and then the number in Div Hayamim is less. So 1,000,000 and 100,000 men and 470,000. Let's just go look. So 800,000 valiant men and 500,000 men. Okay, so it's less here. And then also we learn some more information, but Levi and Binyamin, he did not count among them because the word of the king was repugnant to Yoav, so that was his little rebellion that he didn't count Levi and Binyamin. We'll get to this next week, I think. We won't get to it this week. And then it ends very differently. Now God was displeased because of this thing and he smote Israel, which is very different from how we ended in Shmuel. And David's heart smote him. It was his own guilt that he felt. I left this pasuk unfinished, so God does interfere at that point. But here, it's all God. And David doesn't seem to have any regret that we know of in Divrei Hayamim. So there's all the difference. Now, Deborah was moving ahead, and she saw Gemara that indeed comes up for this pasuk that we're going to look at. So thank you, Deborah. And it is referencing this pasuk where we had this other word of hesit, of the mesit. And this is a very different context. So this is the second time that David actually has an opportunity to kill Saul, Shaul, when he's running away from him. And this is Shaul is surrounded by his whole camp. David manages to sneak to the center to Shaul, steal his flask of water and his sword, but he doesn't touch him. And then he goes back very far away and he calls out to them and gives them a rebuke of what a terrible job they've done guarding their king. So it says Saul recognized David's voice. And this is also Shaul's final moment of lucidity, because he's been paranoid with David and trying to kill him. And this is his final moment of lucidity where we really see how sad the whole story is. So Saul recognized David's voice and said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And David said, "It is my voice, my lord, O king." And he said, "Why does my lord pursue his servant? For what have I done? And what evil is in my hand? And now, let now my lord the king hear his servant's word. If the Lord has incited you against me." Okay, so here you can see in the Hebrew, hasitcha, incited you against me. "He will accept an offering. But if the sons of men, cursed be they before the Lord, for they have driven me today from cleaving to the Lord's heritage, saying, 'Go worship other gods.'" They kick David out of Israel, and David says, being outside the land of Israel is akin to worshiping other gods. Just a little message for us. Okay, so that's background, and then we'll read this Gemara from Masechet Brachot in English, because we have the English, and I have this big chunk of the Malbim in Hebrew that I'm going to torture you all with. Okay, so as for David's statement to Saul, this is our pasuk, "If it be the Lord that has incited you against me, let him accept an offering. Rabbi Elazar said that the Holy One, blessed be he, said to David, do you call me an inciter? Okay, meaning implying that God is inciting Shaul against David. In retribution, I will cause you to fall in a matter that even school children know. As it is written, when you take the sum of the children of Israel according to their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when you number them, that there be no plague among them when you number them. And this is, of course, the famous machatzita shekel, the half shekel that we do on Purim. And every school child knows, we talked about it last week, that you don't count Jews. So we're going to have a whole discussion in the Malvim. He's going to quote the Abarbanel. Was Hashem angry simply because David counted them directly, that he didn't have them give something else to count in place of their actual souls, their actual person? And it seems from this pasuk that the result of this counting is that there would be a plague. Okay, that there be no plague among them when you number them. So therefore, we have to count with something else instead of counting people directly. But we're going to see a whole discussion on that. But in any case, immediately after God said this to David, Satan stood up against Israel, our pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, Chronicles, and incited David to number Israel. So this was in punishment for accusing God for inciting Shaul against him, that God actually sends the Satan to incite David to do something. Moreover, it is written, and again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he incited David against them, saying, go number Israel and Judea. So that's our pasuk from Shmuel. And the Marasha, who comments on the Agadic part of the Gemara, he actually questions, why do you need both these psukim? I didn't really understand his answer, so I didn't bring it. Sorry. The proportional response to David's calling God an inciter was that he incited David. And when he counted them, he did not take a ransom for them, and he was punished, as it is written. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the appointed time. There's a midrash we'll probably discuss it, that says the whole plague only lasted an hour, and yet thousands of Jewish people died. The Gemara asks, what is the meaning of the appointed time? Shmuel, the elder, the father-in-law of Rabbi Chanina, said in the name of Rabbi Chanina, it means from when the daily offering is slaughtered until when its blood is sprinkled. Rabbi Yochanan said, it means precisely until noon. It is also stated there, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the many people, it is enough, now stay your hand. Explaining the meaning of the word Rav, Rav Eliezer said that the Holy One, blessed be he, said to the angel, take from me a great one, Rav, from among them, who is worthy of defraying several of Israel's debts. As a result, at that moment, Avishai ben Tzruya, who we read about in our list of heroes, who was equivalent to the majority of the Sanhedrin, died. His death atoned for the entire nation. Very strange, complicated Gemara, but it's for our purposes, it seems to imply that counting people led to a plague. And we're still left with many questions. If David did something wrong, then why would so many people of Israel be punished for his crime of counting? And it doesn't really address any of those questions, okay? Which maybe is why Rashi here, when it says Hashem was angry at Israel, he says, Lo yadati alma. I don't know what this is about, because it really doesn't make a lot of sense. So last week we explored the connection with the mention of Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba's dead husband, but it's really difficult to understand this, okay? Now, the Radak is also long, and I think for the purpose of time, I'm going to skip it now and just go straight to the Malbim, because it's very long, and I think we'll have just enough time to do it. Okay, so Malbim, again, 19th century Prague rabbi. So he first starts out with his questions. So, Lashon Hasata She'acharav Bet. So he's saying, I'm going to show you this. So if you look in our pasuk from Shmuel Aleph, it says hisitcha, and then do you see it uses the bet, B, okay? So Hebrew, one of the more difficult things about the Hebrew language, if you're not a native speaker, is figuring out which proposition goes with which verb, okay? So sometimes there's no propositional phrase and it's a direct object. Like I saw the ball, ra'iti et ha-kadur, I saw the ball. That doesn't have a preposition in it. But other things like Lehistakel, which is another word for seeing or looking, you use this bet. So, hestakalti b'televizia. It translates literally as I gazed into the television, which doesn't sound make sense to us, but that's just how it is. Or lehishtamesh, which means to use. So, in English, you use something, it's direct. But in Hebrew, hishtamashti b'. I used in something. So it's just these things you have to memorize. So he's differentiating when it says lehasit bi, using the bet. And now look at our thing. It says vayaset et. Okay? So it's a direct object. There's no prepositional phrase. And that also, sometimes an entire verb can change its meaning based on the prepositional phrase or lack thereof that you might use after it. Okay? So the Malbim knew a lot about Hebrew grammar, so that's what he's going to explain here. Why the difference in the direct object versus the prepositional phrase? So when it's a bet, moresh megareo chaverav, it means that he's inciting him on his friends. There's a certain hatred there. Al yidei sina umastama, by way of this hatred. Kamo im Hashem hisit chabi, and he gives a whole bunch of other examples of where you have the bet in different psukim, okay? V'haminui hazeh, but our count doesn't have the bet, so therefore it's missing all these connotations of hatred. Lo ba mi David mipnei sin'ah. It's not coming out of hatred. O kedei lehara leha'am, and he didn't want to cause evil to the nation. Ma hayah ha'ketzef hagadol hazeh, so therefore why this great anger? V'halo gam Moshe v'Sha'ul manu et Yisrael, and we also know from the Torah and the Navi that both Moshe and Sha'ul counted Israel. Ukfi divrei Mahari, and according to the Abarbanel, just as a little aside, the Abarbanel is so long. He's from the 15th century. He lived in Spain. He was the finance minister for Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand. They actually offered him amnesty to stay in Spain, but he chose to be exiled with his people. And he is super long, okay? And so it's always fun. The Malbim does a great job of summarizing him. So we're learning the Abarbanel through the Malbim. Lo natnu shekalim b'midbar Sinai. So he claims that when they did one of the counts in the wilderness of Sinai, they actually didn't use shekalim. They only used shekalim during that half shekel count in Shmot Perek Lamed when they explicitly asked for it. Otherwise, the count, there were many counts in Bamidbar, which the rabbis call Sefer Pikudim, the book of the counting, because I think in Parshat Bamidbar there's three different counts in and of themselves, and he's claiming they didn't use a shekel there, or nor in Arvot Moav when they arrived at the other side, the plains of Moav, which is the other side of the Jordan River, I think, and they counted before entering the land of Israel, which is I think in Parshat Pinchas. They also didn't use the shekel there; they counted directly. V'lama b'kol makom tafas lashon pikida. So why in all the other places do we use this language of pikida, like I told you? The rabbis call Bamidbar, the Book of Numbers. It's in English also, I just realized that, the Book of Numbers. The Sefer Pikida, the Book of Counting. Upo hishtamesh b'pa'almana. But here we say limnot. You all know this word, even if you don't think you know this word, because the word minyan comes from limnot. So minyan does not mean 10 men. It's always what my students say. When I ask them what a minyan means, I always say 10 men. So a minyan just means a count. It happens to be the most famous type of count is for a minyan, which we call 10 men, right? But it just means a count. There could be a minyan for any other thing. It actually means quorum, okay? Ubipa'al safar. So he's giving you three verbs, pekida, mana, sorry, and safar, and they all mean counting in some form. And now, umah hevdel beinehem, what's the difference between them? And if you've been learning the Malbim with me, you know he loves to take synonyms and break them down and tell you how they're actually not synonyms, they each have different nuances and meanings. Umah haya kavanat David bezeh, and what was David's intent in this? Le'eze tachlit haya devar hamelech nachutz limnotam atah. What was the purpose of the word of the king, which was so urgent to count them now, davkel et ziknoto, specifically in his old age? Mashalokitore alze kol yemei malchuto. it never occurred to him to count the people during the whole part of his kingship, and now in his old age, he wants to count. B'divrei Hayamim, Chronicles, Katuv sheYoav heshiv lo, halo Adoni Hamelech kulam la'Adonai la'Avadim. So we read this pasuk that Yoav answers him, "My lord, the king, they are all servants of my lord. Why would you want to do this?" Okay, so you can kind of get a hint to what Malbim's getting onto here, that maybe David's suspicious of his people right now, and Yoav is responding, "No, they're all your servants." Okay, mashma shebikesh za mipnich chashav she'enam avadav u'mishemoradim bo. Maybe he's suspicious that they're not his servants and that they're actually rebelling against him. Here's another example of using a prepositional phrase of be with the Hebrew verb to rebel. So you rebel in someone. Again, they're just really hard for non-native speakers. And how could that be? V'leyashev hastira b'minyan ha'am b'in ha'cheshbon shebesefer Shmuel ha'cheshbon shebedivrei ha'yamim. And we need to settle this contradiction of the numbers between the count in Shmuel and the count in Chronicles. I don't know if we're going to get to that today. And also with the shekels that he gave for the threshing floor. So that we're for sure not going to get to today, but this is another discrepancy between the two books of how much money David paid for this threshing floor, which of course would become the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Which Be'ezrat Hashem we will get to at some point. Okay, Ve'yosef af Hashem. So Hashem's anger was increased. Avir hamifarshim hasar mahari. So I don't know why he's describing him like this. We haven't seen this before, but he's saying the prince of the chumet of the explainers, commentators, the prince Abarbanel, he'etir bazeh hamakom devarim. He crowned in this place words. So I don't know why he's being so flowery here. We haven't seen that before. Hine lo yava lishmoa al dat Rashi veharamban beferusha Torah. He didn't want to listen to the opinion of Rashi or Ramban in the Torah. Shechet David hayama shemana otam legalgul otam velo ayudei shekalim. So both Rashi and Ramban in the Torah on that pasuk in Shmot, when it's talking about machatzita shekel, they both reference David and his counting the people without the Torah. And Galgalotam literally means skulls. So he was counting each of their heads, their skulls. And that's why the plague came. So for them, it's cut and dry, easy. David did a count without shekels. He counted each person directly. It's clear in the pasuk that we saw in Shmot that if you count people directly, you get a plague. And that's why they gave a shekel. So it's clear to Rashi and Ramban. Not so clear to Abarbanel. Ki hu mochiach berayot, he proves with proofs, lefi dato, according to his opinion, she Yisrael b'midbar Sinai u'ba'arvot Moav, v'chein halvi'im sham nimnu legalgalotam. So he proves that in Sinai and in the plains of Moav and the counting of the Levites was counted by their skulls, their heads, lo ayudei shekalim, and not by way of shekalim. V'chein Sha'ul man am shtei pa'amim, and Sha'ul also counted them two times. U'ledato lo tzivta ha'Torah al zeh, shelo l'man am shelo ayidei shekalim. So the Abarbanel thinks that the Torah's command, the mitzvah of the Torah with counting the people, is not that it must be with shekalim. V'da'ato k'da'at ha'Ralbag, and he agrees with Gersonides. So what was the sin then, if he didn't count, if he counted each person directly, it's the way we've always understood it? The sin was al shesam basar zro'o bebitcho al rov amo ayin sham. His sin was that the purpose of his count was to put his trust in the number, the big number of his nation. Okay, so he wanted to know the number for prideful reasons, and to put his trust in that number, as opposed to putting his trust in Hashem, right? So the sin wasn't the actual count, it was the intent of the account. V'ko divrei Akedat Yitzchak, and these are the words of the Akedat Yitzchak, who was a contemporary of the Abarbanel, in Parshat Tisa. Again, that's the Parsha where it mentions machatzit ha-shekel, the half-shekel. Umibli achnis et atzmo po, but Malbim's not going to bring the Akedat Yitzchak into here, Bikar HaDerush HaZeh, into this She'en Po Mikomo Etzli, because I guess he's saying it's not so relevant, but he just wants to bring him as another source that agrees that it's not the sin of counting people. Omer Yeh Ech She'yeh HaTorah He'ida She'minyan Hu Siba El Biat HaNegev. So how could the Torah say that the plague comes as a reason for the count? Kamosha Katuv, like it's written, we saw where it says they gave the shekel in order that there won't be a plague. V'lo yeh b'ham negef b'pkodotam, that's the pasuk. V'ze yeh migimel panim, and this is for three reasons. Imitzad ayin hara, so the first reason is counting people gives an ayin hara. Kamo shekatuv ha-filosof, like, and I don't know who this is, I would have to ask somebody who knows Malbim better, which philosopher is he? It might be Aristotle, actually. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Aristotle, the philosopher. Shemibal nefesh haknai, so a very zealous or jealous person. Yatzu min ha'ayin k'tzat adim. So when somebody's looking at you with intense jealousy, a little bit of mist actually comes out of your eye. Miha mutarot asher yidcham hateva, from the permissible that actually pushes aside nature, the natural order of the world. V'yif'alu b'arsiyotam al hamuchan lihitfa'el miham. And this mist that comes out of your eye when you're glaring at someone with jealousy has a little bit of poison in it that's ready to be activated when it becomes ready, in the situation that's ready. Ad shi'amitu anashim ha'alulim l'kach, until people actually are killed by way of this. Kasher yamit ha'af'a behavtato. Habatato, sorry. Just like this type of snake, I don't know what it is, some kind of an af'a, some kind of snake, that can kill people just by gazing at them. So he's saying that it's, even though it seems like it's just a gaze, he's saying the gaze puts forth some sort of mist of poison, that if you're involved in something where that bad luck will happen to you, it can. So that's the ayin hara, and that's why now you can understand why some people might take the ayin hara so seriously. So that's the first reason why a count could awaken a plague, the ayin hara. Okay. Imitzad she'en habracha shoreh ele b'dvar samui min ha'ayin. So this is a line from the Gemara, that bracha, blessing, can't rest except on that is hidden from the eye. Okay? So you can only get a bracha on something that's hidden. V'hu ki kol kiyum v'hamadat zera beit Yaakov v'uvparatam v'harbatam hu neged hamaracha shehi mitnagedet el ha'am hazeh shehotzi am Hashem v'hipilam imemshalet hora'at ha'kochavim v'hamazalot el hashkacha alokit. Okay. This is very deep in Malbim. He discusses this in other places, and it's really amazing. So what's he saying? The entire existence and endurance of the seed of the house of Jacob and our ability to be fruitful and multiply is against the whole system of astrology, of the constellations, okay? Because Hashem took us, his nation, out of the constellations. We are not ruled by astrology. If a Jew were to actually go to an astrologer, I feel like it's a Philadelphia thing that you see on every like major street or thoroughfare, like two or three astrologers. It's such a weird thing, right, about Philadelphia. So if you were to actually rule your life by that, not only is it avodah zarah, idolatry, but you're giving yourself the short end of the stick, because we are beyond fate. We, the Jews, live by destiny, and we are not, we may have something fated for us in the stars, but as Jewish people connected to Hashem, and I think the Abarbanel actually says this, the whole discussion in the Gemara, whether the Jewish people are ruled by constellations, I think the Abarbanel says anybody who is God-fearing, meaning you don't even have to be Jewish, would take themselves out of this realm of the constellations and astrology. So that's what he's saying by it's hidden. Nobody can know our number because our number is impossible according to the laws of nature and according to the constellations and the fate of the Jewish people. Because we, God, took us out of that fate and put us into the realm of destiny. Okay, so it's very deep. And we are in, so we are out of the fate, and what do we enter into? Hashgacha ha'elokit. Oh, help me, I always lose the English for this. Who knows English and can unmute? Divine providence. That's what it is, divine providence. Okay. V'darchei ha'hashgacha kulam hem nisim nistarim. And when you are under the realm of divine providence as opposed to fate, then everything happens by hidden miracles, lo gluyim, not revealed miracles. Shehashem lo yishaded seder amaracha b'persum rak behester. Because Hashem wouldn't loot, that word is like literally loot, the order of the structure of the constellations publicly, only hidden. And therefore, whenever we're not counted, we'll continue to be fruitful and multiply in this miraculous way. But when we're counted and our number is known, then it's forced to reveal this miracle to everybody's eye. V'zot lo yaseh, and this we can't do. V'od ba, okay, so we have ayin hara, and then we have this idea that bracha only comes to that which is hidden. Both of those things could have caused this plague by this public count. V'od ba shlishia, and here's the third. Ki kol od she'am mitachdim, anytime the nation is united. V'hem kulam ki'ish echad, and we're all like one man. Zechut haravim gadol ma'od. The merit of the many is great. Aval, kishemonim otam, and this is that number limnot, minyan, she'az yitchashev ish ish levado, then each person feels like an individual. Yichupsu avonotav, and then his sins can be grabbed, can be found, they'll search out his sins. Ve'az yebahem negef, and then there'll be a plague. So when you take each individual, that means that Hashem, rather than looking at the nation as a whole, is looking at each individual and seeing each individual's sins, and then you get a plague. So those are the three things. Ayin hara, brachash needs to be hidden, and individualizing the nation. Ve'ata, and now, gam im ne'amar kedat ha'rabanim ha'ele she'Yisrael nimnu b'midbar b'mei Sha'ul, shelo ha'yedei shekalim, and even if you... So if you're going to go according to these certain rabbis, the Ralbag, Gersonides, and Abarbanel, that Israel was counted in the wilderness and also during the days of Shaul, not by way of a shekel, meaning they were counted directly. Lo yiflal anu milma al shebiminyan ze shel David haya hanegef be'adat Hashem. It shouldn't be a wonder to us why this minyan of David, this count of David, came with it a plague. So in order to understand why the count in the wilderness and Shaul's count, even if it was directly, did not result in a plague, and why David's did, he's going to go over these four different counts, lishanot nirdafim means synonyms. That's a technical phrase, I just remembered that. It means language chasing after, but it means synonyms. Shaba'u al haminyan, that go on counting. Bishalash hishtamishpo. So three words for counting are used in our parak in Sefer Shmuel. Lech mane, go count, et Yisrael, upakdu, and give the sum of the nation. V'yadati et mispar. So you see in the word mispar, number, I will know the number of the nation. Lispor is to count. Shehem mana pakad safar. V'od yishamish bepa'al nasa. So there are other places in Tanakh, not ours, where the word nasa et rosh b'nei Gershon, which is another word for counting. So it literally means lift up. So lift up the head of the sons of Gershon, and that means to count. And that's from Bamidbar. Ve'omer, and I will say, ki pa'al safar ba'al asfira be'atzma. So count comes from the actual count, she'sofer echad shnayim shalosh. So that means 1, 2, 3. That's lispor. Kamosha v'safra la shivat yamim. This is like one of the most important psukim in my field as a yoetzet. This is where it says, and she should count for herself 7 days. From Vayikra, Usfartem Lachem Imacharat HaShabbat. This is counting the Omer, counting from the day after Shabbos, which we understand as Yom Tov. She'alzeh lo yitzdak rak lashon sfira she'sofer hayamim. So there, the whole purpose of those counts, whether it's a woman who's a Zava, who needs to count her 7 days, or it's counting the Omer, the intent of the count is indeed each number that we count it. And for the Omer, we even say each day, each counting day is even a bracha, in a mitzvah, its own mitzvah. Upa'al pakad, so what's a pakad? Ba'al skum haminyan. So the pakad, as we said before, is the sum of the count. Achar shesipera pratim, after you count the details, the individuals, ve'yomer sacha kol kach v'kach, and you say the end result is this and this, yishamesh bil lashon pakad. That calls for the language of pakad, the sum. V'yirmoz gamkein al el tachlita sfira, and it also hints at the purpose of the count. L'mashal melech hasofer chayelotav l'dat skumam. The king counts his soldiers to know their sum, how many there are. Hu poked al inyanam. He's counting in order to know the sum, okay? So when we count during the days of the Omer, we know it's 50 days. We're not counting to know the sum. We're counting for the purpose of recognizing each day individually, okay? Whereas when the king counts, he's not counting to recognize each individual. He's counting to know how many there are. Mi yelech lemelchama v'kama yachu. Who's going to the war and how many will go? Ubezem yishtatef im hora'a hashenit. And this joins the second meaning of the word pakah, sheyesh lepa'al pakad. Hashem tzvakot mefaked tzva milchama. A pasuk from Yeshayahu. Wait, did I? Who lashon pakad? Hashem tzvakot mefaked tzva milchama. Hashem counts the hosts of war. V'chein amar b'midrash shir shirim, and it also says in the midrash of shir shirim, mispar ze haminyan mefaked ze askum. So it just says what we said, that the mispar, the counting is the count, and the mifkad is the sum. V'kein timtza shebekol makom sheyedaber al pe'ulot hasfira hasedarit ze'etze. In any place when it talks about the action of counting the individual numbers, lo yuchal la'ezkir lashon pakad, it never uses the language of pakad. So in Sfirat HaOmer, it doesn't matter what the sum days are. We know what it is. It matters each individual day. Asapram mechol yeravion, counting the sand, it's pasuk in Tehillim. Kiata tzadi tispar, count my steps. Obviously, we're not interested in the sum. Tispor yurachim timlaina, count the full moons. V'hekehu kadei v'shato b'misfar, I didn't look up all these psukim, sorry, because there's a lot of them. He's just bringing examples. Ulam, however, pa'al mana, the verb mana, ba'gam al davar shekvar yodea misparo. So when we use mana, we already know the number, like the 50 days between Pesach and Shavuot, like the 7 days necessary for the woman. Umone ledat im lo chaser mima. So why do we count it? Because we want to know, and this is one of his main points, if anything is missing from that count. Kumo shekatav od tavorno hatzon ayde mona. So you're counting the sheep by a count to know if anyone's missing, right? The shepherd wants to know when he's counting his sheep. He knows how many sheep he has, and he wants to know if one is missing. Ladatim chasar meham, to know if one is missing. Limnot yumino kol hayavid. Okay, so I'm going to skip a lot of these psukim because they all repeat. You get the idea. Ratzon lomar, shemoneh shelo yechsar misparam leolam. He counts so that there will be nothing missing. V'amar breshit. Okay, again, he's counting, and it's this idea of dust, that dust always clings together like a dust bunny, so therefore it'll always be together. And he's comparing that to Israel, to us, that if we are missing one, it'll automatically be filled. We'll get him right back. That's the count of Israel. V'alzeh omer, and this it says, mi mana afar Yaakov, and this is what Balak says in his prophetic speech when he's looking out over Bnei Israel. You guys all know Ma Tovu Alecha Yaakov, how goodly are your tents, Jacob. So he says a lot more than that. And he says, who can count the dust of Yaakov and counting a quarter of Israel? Tafas minui etzel afar. So you get this mana by way of dust. Okay, so meaning it's all united and together. I didn't really understand that. I apologize. Upal nasa, but this verb of lifting up, bal al hapkida sheish bo nisiut v'chashivut, that comes on account that involves lifting up in importance. Kumo rosh anshei hamelchama sheisa rosho shehu ish gibur umatzvi hamelchama. Like when you count the heads of the war, that there you're lifting up their heads because these are heroes and they're going to lead the people into war. V'chein b'midrash, and we learn in a midrash, eino omer poked ela nasa, lashon nisiut v'chashivut. So why doesn't it say poked when it's counting some of these people in Bamidbar? Because we want the lit language of lifting up in importance. It's not just a poked, it's a nasa, lifting up. Al pi haktamazo, and then he says, by way of this introduction, it was a long introduction, navo el habior. Now I'm going to explain what it has to do with our text. Hine tir'eh shebiminyan shel chumash hapikudim. So here you can see he's calling Bamidbar chumash hapikudim, the book of counts. So you'll see in the count in Bamidbar and in Arvot Moab, the plains of Moab, lo hishamesh lo befal mana. It doesn't say anything about mana in any of those. Ki lo haya kavana ladat im chaser mehem, because the intent was never to know if anyone was missing from them. Vilo bepal safar, it never says count 1, 2, 3, safar. Ki lo haya kavanato hasfira mitzad atzma, because the intent was never on the counting itself. Rak bepal pakad u bepal nasa. We only use these two verbs, pakad and nasa. Shemitzad shaya b'minyan ze hitnasut v'chashivut amar pa'al nasa. Because this count had lifting up and had importance, so we use the verb nasa. Umitzad shetachlito haya ledat haskum hakolel amar pakad. And because the intent was to know the sum, they use the verb pakad. V'chein etzel Shaul amar. And also when Shaul does a count, v'yifkadeim betla'im, they counted. We had a whole discussion there, so it's Shmuel Alef Tetvav, whether he counted with sheep, in which case it would go against what the Malbiv saying, that he actually used sheep to count, or Tlaim was the name of a place, and he counted without the sheep there. Umnam amar sham b'mispar shemot. It says in Bamidbar, in the number of the names. Ratzon lamar shesfira. So when it does say mispar, sorry, so we're counting about a number, the counting, it says shemot, names. Shesfira lo haya shesiper hagagolet. In that case, they didn't count each person. Shebezeh yesh ayin hara. Then we have the ayin hara. Rak shesafar hashemot. He only counted the names. Kol echad katav shmo v'shem mishpacho. Everyone wrote down their name and their family name. Valide shesafar hashemot. And because he counted the names, yadas kuma. He knew their sum. Okay, so they're not counting people in that count. Aval lo amar sfor et bnei Yisrael. But nobody ever said count the people of Israel. O vayispor, or that they counted, ki ze eino ra'ui rak ha'pikida l'da'at haskum ha'kolel, because it wasn't suitable, it wasn't right, they just wanted the sum. Shebezeh lo shayach ayin harad, and the ayin harad doesn't stick to counts where the intent is just to get the sum. Ve'lo hatam hashlishi shehifrid hayachidim levadam, and also neither the third reason he gave before, that you're separating each individual, you're no longer united, ki halo mikabetz haskum hakolel, because we only wanted to know this general sum and not the individual count. V'gam lo atam hasheni, and it's also not relevant for the second explanation, she'ein habracha shorabak v'davar samui, that bracha only rests in hidden things, things that are hidden from the eye. Ki lo pakad rak tzva hamilchama, because there they're only counting the army for war. V'hapchutim miben esrim nisharu b'lo minyan, and those under the age of 20 were not part of the count. V'habracha adayin mesutarim, mesuteret b'nes Hashem hanisarim. And therefore, the true amount of Hashem's allowing us to be fruitful and multiply remained hidden in this, the miraculous fruitful and multiply. Umnam, however, b'mispar hazesh siper Yoav, with this count that Yoav counted, Hishtamesh Begimel Lishonot. It uses three languages. Ela Legalot Mahaya Kavanat David Baza, in order to tell us what David's intent was. Ve'ofen chat'o b'dvarza, and his sin in this thing. Ve'omer be'ezrat Hashem, and I will say, with God's help, Hine matzanu ki ed ha'et ha'hi, ad ha'et ha'hi, we've seen that up until this time, lo hityachdu anshei chayal mi yatza b'tzava. We never had all of the army people uniting of who would go out into the war. So there was never an official, I think, draft would be the word. Rak b'kol et ba milchama b'aratzam. Rather, at any time that the war came to their land, yatzak karuz min hamelech, a call would go out from the king. Sheyetzu ha'am l'melchama, that the nation should go out to war. V'halchul kol ha'charedim l'mitzvato, and anybody who was God-fearing would go out with this command. Halo tir'eh shepakdam Sha'ol b'bezek. So Sha'ol did this count in this place called Bezek. Hayu Yisrael shlosh maot elef. Israel was 300,000. V'ish Yehuda shloshim elef. And Yehuda was 30,000. U'kishepakdam b'tzla'im. But when he counted the people who actually came out to fight the war, hayu ish Yisrael matayim elef. Israel was only 200,000. V'ish Yehuda asarat elef. And Yehuda was 10,000. Mivuar shemea elef miYisrael v'esrim elef miYehuda nisharu b'beitam b'pam hazot. So we're enlightened that 100,000 from Israel and 20,000 from Yehuda remained in their houses that time. Not everyone came out to fight that war. V'hine kodim shaya hamered shel Avshalom. Before Avshalom rebelled, shehayu kulam ne'amanim l'makam, everyone was trustworthy and faithful to their king. So before Avshalom rebelled, David never had to count, because whenever a battle would come up, the right number of people, however were needed, would come out to fight the war. But after the rebellion of Avshalom, yada ki et yashmia et ha'am yitzu kulam l'machama ba'avatato. Okay, sorry. So before Avshalom, everyone would just come out to war. Aval achar shenitava ha'meret shel Avshalom, but after the rebellion of Avshalom, ve'acharav shel Sheva ben Bichri, and after Sheva ben Bichri, who's the one who escaped into Tekoa, and the wise woman saved the whole town from being killed, and she just sent out Sheva ben Bichri, who was killed. Shera'ah David shelev Yisrael notem elav. David thought that the heart of Israel was veering away from him. V'yar ki et tikrenu melchama yisharu rubam bebatam, and he was afraid that at the time he would call them to war, the majority would stay in their homes. Lachin kamo shehinhig be'eta hi lakachat ma'atam mas, ma shelo haya kodem lachin, shenatnu hakol beratzon. Just like now he's inferring something based on, I don't know if you remember, but however many months ago we saw a list of appointees David gave to people as appointments, like a cabinet almost. And we saw there a tax minister. So Malbim is inferring from there that taxes became a formalized thing, that people would collect taxes, as opposed to people just giving from their own free will. So David imposed formalized taxes in a way that was never put on before. So too, Kein Ratza Le'anig, shekol yotzei tzava yu mufkadim b'misparam v'yu ketuvim b'pankas ha'melech. He wanted every single person eligible for the army to be listed on the king's list, ad shebe'et melchama yeda mi hachaser mihem. So he would know at the time of war who was missing from his list. So now you see why David wants a count, as in a minyan, to know who's missing. Asher lo ba le'ezrat Hashem b'giborim ve'anush yanesh, who wasn't coming to help God in their heroism, and they would surely be punished. Draft dodgers. Kemo shehu hayom etzal malchei eretz, just like it is today among kings of the land. He does, obviously, Israel didn't exist when he wrote. Shebnei hachayal nizkarim u'menu'im u'murchachim latzeit likrat neshek be'et hatzorach, that their soldiers are mentioned and they're counted and they're forced to go out to greet the weapons at the time of need. V'hine ha-katuv omer, and therefore the pasuk says, Vayosef af Hashem lecharot b'Yisrael, v'yaset et David b'hem le'mor lecham anah. So it says, in Hashem's anger added on Israel, and he incited David on them, saying, count Israel and Yehuda. U'b'peirish ma'ari, and according to the Abarvinal, Shaya charon af al shemardu b'malchut beit David. So why was God angry at the people? Because they rebelled against the kingship of David. Behachu achare Sheva ben Bichri, and they went after Sheva ben Bichri. So their people are never punished for the rebellion of Sheva ben Bichri against David. Shebezeh ratzu lifroch ol machut David ve'ol machut shamayim. Because with this rebellion of Sheva ben Bichri, the people wanted to throw off the yoke of kingship of David, and by definition also, since David was God's anointed one, they wanted to throw off the yoke of the kingship of heaven. And that's why they received this punishment. So it wasn't about the count, it was about their unpunished rebellion. David, and now we're going to see what's David's role in causing this plague. It was on David's heart that their heart was far from him, that they wouldn't help him at the time of war. And this is what it says, that God incited David against them, as if he's throwing a little hatred among them, that he wouldn't believe them. And that's why he made a decree to count Israel and Yehuda, David's intent wasn't to know the sum of the people, raklim no tam, just to count them individually, ledat im yichzaru mehem b'sha'at melchama, to know if any of them would be missing at the time of war. Shezeh geder haminyan, that's the definition of minyan. U'bedivrei hayamim, and in Chronicles, perush yoter mishma shekatuv v'yamad satan al Yisrael v'yaset et David behem, where it says that the satan stood and incited David to count Israel. Shamad baza satan, that some kind of satan stood v'yorer midanim shehita lev David laza, and caused David to do this. Ki hashem lo hisitoto, God isn't the one that incited him. Rak anashim mastinim, insightful people. So he's even taking it out of the realm of a satan angel, and he's saying, people caused him to do this. Rak Hashem lo hital levavo al shelo yamin leshav nita. Hashem would never incite somebody for no reason. V'hine hagam she'amar lim, because again, Hashem incites people to get them to actualize their potential. V'hine hagam she'amar lim not et Yehuda gam kein, and that which it says to count Judah also. Ikar kavanato hayal Yisrael. His main point really was to count Israel, even though in our text of Shmuel it says to count Judah also. But he really just wanted to count Israel, she'azvuhu v'hachu achare Sheva ben Bichri, because they were the bulk of the people that rebelled against him with Sheva ben Bichri. Masha ein kein b'nei Yehuda, which was not the case of Yehuda, davku b'malkam, who clung to their king. V'alzeh omer b'divrei hayamim, and that's why it says in Chronicles, amar rak limnot et Israel, just to count Israel. Okay. So to summarize, Malbim does not believe that the sin was counting them without a shekel. He believes that when you count people directly, you have to have the right intention. Because if you don't have the right intention, you either get ayin hara that causes death, or you get the revealing of the miraculous, because bracha can only rest in the hidden, in which case Hashem's miraculous multiplying of B'nai Israel is revealed, and so that might cause a plague as well. Or the third one, I'm blanking, which was, so you had bracha, you have ayin hara, individualizing each person, that they're no longer unified. And so therefore each person is looked at as an individual, and their sins are now known because we lose that national divine protection. Because now we're looked at as individuals. And he's hinting here that David did not have the intention of the counts that were done without the shekel that were with the verb nasa, which means to lift up in importance, but rather he's through his own insecurity and putting his trust in humanity as opposed to in God, he's doing this count to know who would be missing when they go to war. So David's sin is his intent and his reason why he did this count. And the people's sin, then, why they're punished, is because there was never a punishment for the rebellion against the people for the rebellion in their joining of Sheva ben Bichri, which is where we get the discrepancy of why Yehuda's mentioned in Shmuel, but only Yisrael is mentioned in Divrei Hayamim. Okay, any questions? That was a lot.